Listening to the Locked On Broncos podcast, hosted by Cody Rourke, your daily Broncos podcast.
What's up, Broncos country? Welcome back into a brand new episode of the show here on this Wednesday, all across Broncos country from the South Stands to the end zone. You are Locked On Broncos. It's been gloomy weather, snow yesterday, freezing rain, but also gloomy forecast for the Denver Broncos right here in 2020 with our news of the day. I'm Cody Rourke, your host, as always, NFL analyst and Broncos insider for the Locked On NFL Network. You can follow me on Twitter at Cody Rourke NFL. You can follow the show at Locked On Broncos. Today's episode of the show, ladies and gentlemen, is definitely not one that bears good news. Obviously, I think everybody in Broncos country knows, and if you're just now waking up and you're getting this on your podcast on your drive to work, the Broncos are expected to be without star pass rusher Von Miller for the entire 2020 NFL season. According to reports, Miller suffered an injury towards the end of practice on one of the final plays. The Broncos, they were practicing in shells, which means that there are no pads. They just have helmet, jersey, and shorts or sweats, whatever they wear along those lines there. And this happened towards the end of practice. And obviously with the conditions, it was snowy yesterday. Now Von Miller potentially faces being out the 2020 NFL regular season with a tendon injury in his ankle. He underwent an MRI and is expected to hear from Dr. Anderson in Green Bay. He's going to consult with him about what's next. And for Von Miller, surgery seems like the logical thing at this point. That's what the reports are saying, according to Brandon Cristall, who broke the news of KOA Radio, the Broncos flagship station. BK was first on the report there. And just for the Broncos, I think you got to really put it into perspective. This is a big blow for them defensively. This is a big blow for them when you look at the overall team morale, because Von Miller is a captain. He's been a leader of this team. He really reflected this offseason on what his legacy was going to be. He wanted to change the way that people viewed his legacy. They just don't want to view him as a guy who was just this guy that gets sacks all the time, Super Bowl 50 MVP. He also wanted to improve the perception that he's a guy that elevates the players around him. And so for Miller, he may not get the chance there. Obviously, the news we're all awaiting on the MRI results to come back, but that is the fear that he is out for the 2020 NFL season. And while we could sit here, we could gloom and we could talk about all the negative aspects of losing Von Miller. Look, it's monumental. It's a big blow to them defensively. But now you have to focus on the reality of the situation. If Von is completely out of the 2020 season, who are the players behind him? Who are the players that are now expected to step up in a more prominent role for the Broncos at the edge rusher position? And we got to take a look at Malik Reed. We got to take a look at Jeremiah Atauchu. Now, Malik Reed right now is the favorite to be named the starter Monday Night Football against the Tennessee Titans, opposite of Bradley Chubb, who right now, Bradley Chubb himself may or may not be on a pitch count for the Tennessee Titans game. Not quite to 100% yet, coming off of ACL surgery himself. And that really just goes to show the depth right now where the Broncos are at outside linebacker. It's very questionable. The Broncos were hoping that both Chubb and Miller were going to be fully healthy. Nobody during roster cuts this past weekend expected this was going to be the case, but now Malik Reed, who was an undrafted free agent out of Nevada last season, made the roster for the Broncos in the preseason, generating 3 sacks in 4 preseason games overall for the Broncos last year, was able to get some sacks in the regular season and be an impact player. He's had a pretty good camp so far in Dove Valley. He's going to be the guy opposite of Bradley Chubb or Jeremiah Atauchu. But now the Broncos have to figure out what they're going to do long-term, because short-term, in just 5 days, the Broncos and the Titans play. So you can't really bring anybody in right now considering the COVID protocols. Unless they've been on a camp before in this offseason, there's some options out there. But at this point in time, it's not realistic that any of those options would play on Monday. So the Broncos could look potentially at some options like Shane Ray, a former Denver Bronco who has been training exclusively all offseason long with Von Miller. He could be one of those guys that Miller says, look, Ray has attacked the offseason, has gotten bigger, faster, and stronger, lost some of that weight that was, you know, weighing him down, essentially that prohibited him from being a Baltimore Raven last year. He is now in a condition to be ready to contribute to an NFL team, and that's Shane Ray, former Bronco there. There's Ezekiel Ansah, who's formerly of the Seattle Seahawks at 31 years of age. There's 37-year-old Terrell Suggs. There's 38-year-old Cameron Wake. Don't know if the Broncos want to go with one of those options of going with an older guy. I mean, yes, that experience is necessary, but if you're going to go with a guy in a division that has Patrick Mahomes, and you talk about Tyrod Taylor, the mobility there, Derek Carr, the quick passing game, where you're going to absolutely have to get pressure this season, going against Drew Brees and other quarterbacks, Tom Brady, and even Matt Ryan and Teddy Bridgewater. The quarterbacks that the Broncos face in 2020, it's not an easy task for them, and they're going to have to find a way to get pressure on the quarterback. So you're going to have to see the Broncos get creative. May not be for this week one matchup against Tennessee, but you're going to have to see something long term. So the Broncos could bring somebody in, and we really got to put it under the magnifying glass right here. The loss of Justin Hollins now becomes a little bit of a bigger issue because the Broncos released him over the weekend to make room on the 53-man roster, and just where Hollins was at with the depth the Broncos had, an inside backer and outside backer, they really didn't need a guy like that who was a tweener, kind of an in-between player, who was claimed by former Broncos outside linebacker coach Brandon Staley, who's now the defensive coordinator for the Los Angeles Rams. If I'm the Broncos, I may inquire about how to get a guy like Justin Hollins back, because he has been in Broncos camp. It wouldn't be as long of a transition to get him back there. And I believe the NFL rules state that if a team, so when the Rams play the Cowboys on Sunday night, after that game, if he's a protected player, after that game, any team can contact that player and try to get him on the roster. I would not be shocked if we see the Broncos try to get back Justin Hollins. There's also a couple of names out there, as I mentioned, in the free agency realm of things. Benjamin Albright of Broncos Country Tonight on KOA News Radio and iHeart Radio says a name to keep an eye on for the Broncos is former Bears outside linebacker Isaiah Irving, who's a 6'3", 255-pound player, previously played with Vic Fangio, so some familiarity there in terms of defensive scheme when the Broncos go 3-4. You know, you want to have that familiarity. So there are some potential options to keep an eye on for this Broncos team. And I think for a lot of Broncos fans, right now, I asked a lot of Broncos fans on Twitter at @CodyRourkeNFL what their thoughts were really about Von Miller's injury, and obviously the speculation right now, the outlook and the fear that he's going to be out for the entire season. And a lot of Broncos fans said they were just sick. They felt sick. And I think that was the common theme that I think everybody, myself included, in the media felt last year when Bradley Chubb tore his ACL and went down. It's easy right now, I think, for a lot of people to hit that panic button, say, look, season's over, go ahead and cancel. Don't even show up for 2020. It's a waste of time. You know, there's not going to be anything productive that comes out of it. But the Broncos, look, it's a business. And as much as it hurts to lose a guy like Von Miller, you have to continue to play football games. You have to continue to go out there and try your best to win games. And that's what the Broncos are going to do. You know, yes, it is a tremendous loss losing a guy who's a Super Bowl 50 MVP, a guy who is a better football player than a lot of people at that position on the edge. And he also makes people around him better. He's a great leader inside that locker room. He's a great human being on and off the football field as well. That is a big blow, but it also propels a story for next season where, if it is in fact true, Von is going to be out with 2020, he can come back stronger than ever next year. Because look, it's a contract discussion time. He's expected to be an unrestricted free agent, and he wants to retire as a Denver Bronco. He's been very vocal about that. The Broncos may have some leverage in terms of overall contract money, but this is a big blow for the Broncos defensively. And look, Broncos country, rally together. And look, this team is going to put the players in position. Malik Reed, Jeremiah Tauchu, potentially somebody on the outside coming in, and they're going to find a way to make it work, because that's how the NFL works. Now, while it sucks, the show must go on, the game must go on. It is the next man up mentality in Broncos country. But Broncos country, coming up here in just a moment, we're going to talk about some more Broncos news and notes. We're going to go over some more of the injury report about a couple of Broncos players as well, and some good news for fans in Broncos country who maybe want to attend a game at Empower Field at Mile High. But before we do that, I got to tell you guys about the sponsor of today's episode, Locked On Broncos, and that's NFL Game Pass. And this season, you can get football on your time with NFL Game Pass. You can catch every snap from every game with full game replays and see all the plays in just 45 minutes with condensed games. You can relive all the gutsy calls, the crazy catches, the wild comebacks, and the breakout stars from every game every single week. It's all the action, all the football that you can handle, all in one place. And NFL Game Pass is the only place so you can replay every game all season long. You'll also learn from the league's best players with over 40 NFL Game Pass film session episodes. You get to go inside the game from a player's perspective as they break down the game's concepts and techniques. You get to learn from the best like Deshaun Watson, Stephon Gilmore, Davante Adams, and many more. NFL Game Pass also provides access to the entire NFL Films archive. So go to NFL.com/Game Pass to start your free trial today. NFL Game Pass, where football never stops. Obviously, updating you guys as we were recording this podcast, we were just talking about it previously, about Von Miller, speculation about him being out the entire year. Well, now the MRI has come back, according to Mike Kliss of 9 News Denver, and that report now confirms that Miller did suffer a season-ending injury. He will be out 2020. So look for guys like Malik Reed, Jeremiah Tauchu to step up, potentially bringing in some other guys. Derek Tuska is not yet ready to be on the Broncos' active roster. He's not strong enough just yet to be out there against NFL players. Vic Fangio firmly believes that and is not going to throw him out to the Wolves necessarily. So look for the Broncos to bring somebody in, and it's not going to be Justin Hollins, who's now promoted to the Los Angeles Rams active roster, is going to be playing this Sunday against the Cowboys. So now the Broncos have to look out there at some options like Ezekiel Ansah, maybe Shane Ray. I mean, the list goes on there. Maybe the Broncos get on the phone and maybe even call and inquire about Aldon Smith down there in Dallas, because Vic Fangio does have familiarity there. But obviously, this is just speculation here at this point. These are talking points, obviously, for the Broncos. Just a sad episode today. Sad news to report here. Von Miller out the entire 2020 NFL season. But Broncos country, let's get to some of the other news and notes around Dove Valley coming out of yesterday. And there is some good news, though, for Broncos fans. If you are a Broncos fan and you want to attend a football game at Empire Field at Mile High, you now have your opportunity to do so, because Jared Polis, governor of Colorado, and the Broncos announced yesterday that 5,700 fans can attend games overall. This is not the full capacity you usually see at Empire Field at Mile High. Honestly, 5,700 fans in comparison to 75,000 fans is definitely a drastic difference. Probably won't make a big impact in terms of crowd noise overall, but obviously Broncos fans have the opportunity to go and watch a football game against Tampa Bay and Tom Brady when they come to town week 3. And some of the rules that I want to kind of pinpoint out there, if you're a Broncos fan listening and planning to go to that game, there is no tailgating. Fans must wear face covers. They must get their temperature at the game before they get in, and they must adhere to social distancing guidelines. These are things that they have zero tolerance for. You can't do any of that stuff. Tailgating, obviously, you know, creates, a bigger risk to everybody, so there will be no tailgating. And if that's the case, if fans are tailgating, I know it kind of sounds horrible. I know it sucks to hear this, but with tailgating, if you're doing it, then you won't be allowed to get into the game, according to the media report there. So at least Broncos fans will be able to get to see some action this year, and maybe that will increase drastically from 5,700, maybe to 10,000, maybe to 15,000, maybe to 20,000, and who knows, and maybe 3 or 4 months, maybe it can be around the guidelines of having a full stadium once again, but very unlikely. But Broncos fans will have a chance to attend games Empire Field Mile High. In terms of getting to the Broncos injury report here, outside of Von Miller being out the 2020 season, take a look at Mark Barron and KJ Hamler, both dealing with hamstring issues, and according to Broncos head coach Vic Fangio, both of those players are highly questionable. KJ Hamler was limited in practice yesterday, didn't do too much, expected to do a little bit, but not too much. Mark Barron did not practice yesterday, suffered a hamstring injury in the Broncos Stadium scrimmage last Friday night at Empire Field at Mile High. He's highly questionable, which means that if he can't go for the Broncos on Monday against the Tennessee Titans, you can expect to see Juzy Jewell, you can expect to see Alexander Johnson get a bulk of the reps at linebacker, and then Joe Jones and Austin Calitro would back up those two players respectively in any kind of sub packages. But there could be a chance that Juzy Jewell, who was expected to be a two-down backer for the Broncos here this upcoming season, could be playing a bulk of the defensive snaps just due to the fact that they got some injuries. They got some guys who aren't quite ready just yet. So eager to see how the Broncos manage that personnel there. But obviously, we'll continue to monitor the injury report as more things come out. Graham Glasgow, Bradley Chubb likely to go, according to Broncos head coach Vic Fangio. But the situation with Bradley Chubb is a little bit more fluid, obviously dealing with that knee injury, and obviously with the news now at outside linebacker Von Miller, they will have to rely on Chubb this season when he is fully ready to go, but they will likely put him on a pitch count and ease him back into it, which I think is the smart approach. You want to do that. You don't want to rush him when you're ready, and then you lose out on two pass rushers to start off the 2020 season. That would be the absolute worst-case scenario for Denver. Graham Glasgow practicing on a limited basis as well, dealing with that ankle injury, should be expected to go on Monday night when the Tennessee Titans come to town. And really just, I think, the focal point, the scope of where I think the Broncos are currently at entering this Monday night football game, there are a variety of questions that I think are still out there pertaining to how this team is going to proceed. Obviously, with Monday, with no preseason games, there are a lot of question marks that I think a lot of fans have. So we're going to get to some fan questions here on today's episode, Locked On Broncos. We're going to start things off with my man Ryan M5292. He says, with the altitude and a super late night game for an East Coast football team, Do you agree that the run game and the defense will be the key to win in the second half? I think the Broncos need to come out and establish the run early on, regardless, because of the fact that there hasn't been much preseason action. There hasn't been really anything besides scrimmages between each of the teams and their own respective players. You don't really get better doing that, and so you don't want to go out there and just throw guys, you know, into different scenarios. You want to be able to establish the passing game eventually. Come out and establish the run, because that's going to be the identity, a little bit of the bread and butter of this Broncos football team, and then you can open up the passing game. You know, you still have some issues that you saw at the stadium scrimmage. The first one at Empire Field, a mile high, a few weeks ago, where the Broncos, a miscommunication between the routes between Sutton, Judy, and Locke. That's going to be some things I think we see happen a little bit in this season, but as they get more acclimated, I think you're going to reduce that. But with the altitude, with you know, no preseason game, no physical football contact outside of practice that you're usually used to, and it's really condensed and limited as is in practice, being an East Coast team, you know, the adjustment I think is going to be a little different for Tennessee. That's where the Broncos have the advantage, and I think the defense will be key for them winning in the second half. But look, if the Broncos can find a way to get going offensively, that's great. If they can come out firing on all cylinders, it does take the pressure, I think, off of the defense to maybe do that. But then again, you haven't had as much tackling yet, so I really wonder how the Broncos are going to approach tackling Derrick Henry when they haven't had a lot of in-game reps just yet. Kareem Jackson met with the media yesterday and said that the Broncos are going to have to rely a lot on their instincts, just as football players. Got to come down and do what we do best defensively, and that's tackle people. So that's what Kareem Jackson said yesterday's media session overall. But definitely something to keep an eye on if you're a Broncos fan going forward, really, if that's going to play a factor. So yes, thank you there, Ryan, for your Twitter question. Steven Curtis comes in and says, how the heck are we going to replace Von Miller? Well, for the Broncos, there is no replacing Von Miller. I think that's one of the biggest things that a lot of people are going to say is, like, how do you replace a guy like Miller? You can't replace him. You can only add value by bringing in players to add to the depth at that position overall. And we saw it last year from a football standpoint, the Broncos bringing in guys that did contribute, guys that I think none of us as media members, as fans, had expected for this Broncos team, with guys like Justin Hollins, Malik Reed, and even Jeremiah Atauchu. Now they got Malik Reed and Jeremiah Atauchu. No Justin Hollins, are likely going to bring somebody else in. You just got to roll with those guys and hope that they can do it. Now, Malik Reed's had a great camp for the Broncos. Same with Jeremiah Atauchu. I'm not too worried at this point. Like, yeah, you know, they're not going to be Von Miller. But maybe they can contribute at a level good enough to where, you know, it kind of counteracts the loss of Von Miller in a way. But there is no replacing Von Miller. Mr. _ Boggins on Twitter says, with the depth chart set for game one and Callahan listed as cornerback two, do you see him starting on the outside initially and converting inside on nickel coverages with Devontae Harris or Michael Ojemudi on the outside? Yes. Great question, and yes, this is going to be the case with the Broncos. Now, when they come out in their base 3-4 defensive scheme, you're going to have A.J. Boye, you're going to have Bryce Callahan on the outside. Boye is more than likely going to play on the field side at corner, and then you're going to see Bryce Callahan playing on the boundary side, which is the short side of the field for the Broncos there in the base 3-4 scheme. When the Broncos go nickel, they're going to take a defensive lineman out, they're going to put an extra DB in there, and at that point, you're going to see Bryce Callahan slide from the outside all the way to the inside, covering inside the slot. And then you're going to see, in my opinion, there's no confirmation yet. Vic Fangio said that he was hoping to have an idea on Thursday or Friday who would actually be the other starter on the outside. I believe we're going to see Devontae Harris, Michael Ojemudi initially rotate, but we could see an announcement by Vic Fangio later on this week that really determines whether or not it's going to be Devontae Harris getting a bulk of those or Michael Ojemudi. My hunch, and based on the information I've been told, I think Michael Ojemudi, there's a growing sense of belief that he will be the Broncos starter when they go in the nickel package on the outside with Callahan sliding inside and Boye opposite of him. That's what I've got a gut feeling on what's going to happen based on the information I've been told, but obviously we'll be able to see that. You know, in terms of Michael Ojemudi as well, you know, dealing with that quad injury that kept him out of practice for about a week, week and a half, that was something that, you know, kind of concerned me a little bit about maybe throwing a rookie into the starting lineup, obviously week one. Now, I think he's going to be the starter eventually in the season at some point. You know, if it's week one, that's great. If it's week five, it's something that I do expect to happen at some point here in 2020. But Broncos Country, coming up here in just a moment, we're going to get some more questions from listeners in Broncos Country. But before we do that, I got to tell you guys to check out the sponsor of today's episode, Lockdown Broncos. That's our good friends over there at Built Bar. And Built Bar, they relaunched. They're back. They're better than ever. And they're the best tasting protein bar that's out there. The best tasting protein bar ever. And the improved Built Bar is even more delicious than ever before, because now they feature 18 amazing flavors. My new personal favorites are caramel brownie and cookies and cream. If you're a cheesecake person, you can always go with the lemon almond cheesecake or the apple almond crisp. Those ones are pretty good for your taste buds as well. But if you're like me as well, you love old reliable, some of the old original flavors. I love the peanut butter brownie and I love the toffee almond. I even started getting onto the banana bread Built Bar as well, which absolutely tastes amazing. Now for me, I'm preparing for a wedding. exciting, and I also like treats, right? So in order to find the perfect compromise, Built Bar is perfect for those of you who are health conscious but love delicious treats as well, because Built Bars are completely healthy. They help you lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. The bars are covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft, they're easy to chew, but they're also low calorie, low sugar, high protein, and high fiber. Great for any kind of diet that you may be on. Just under 180 calories and only 5 grams of sugar. That is something that you got to get your taste buds locked onto. And you can get a free cooler with purchase today only while supplies last, to keep your Built Bar bar cool and crisp, especially if you're in an area where it's really, really hot. So go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get $10 off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at BuiltBar.com. Getting to a remainder of the questions here on today's episode, Lockdown Broncos. Obviously, today's been a little bit of a cloudy day across Broncos country. We broke the news. We talked about Von Miller being out for the 2020 NFL season. We've talked about players that could step up in his absence, where the Broncos need to look internally and also on the outside in terms of free agents off the street. And we also talked about some of the questions pertaining to, how do you replace Von Miller? What about the depth chart in terms of cornerbacks? We've answered some of those questions. Now we're going to continue on here with today's episode of the show. Zach Seegers, you guys can also hear him commonly on the Lockdown Broncos podcast this season for the Broncos coverage alongside myself and Patrick Chiodi. But his question comes in as, what will be the Broncos' biggest matchup advantage against the Titans, and what will be the Titans' biggest matchup advantage against the Denver Broncos? Zach, you know, I think for me looking at this game, and I don't know if this has changed, but my response to you earlier was, I think the Broncos' front seven versus Tennessee's offensive line is to the advantage of the Broncos. You lose out on a guy now like Von Miller. I don't know if that advantage really holds firm. You have Jarrell Casey, Shelby Harris. You have Mike Purcell, McTelvin Ajima, defensive tackle. You do have DeMarcus Walker as well. If the Broncos want to slide some guys around there, I think that the Broncos front seven will be okay. Josie Jewell, Alexander Johnson, and also having Kareem Jackson come up into the box, especially against some of the 11 personnel that Tennessee runs, it might bode well for the Broncos. I think they have the advantage there. But I do think that Tennessee has the advantage right now defensively against the Broncos offense, really until the Broncos offense proves otherwise. You have Kevin Byard back there. You have Jadeveon Clowney now. If I were the Broncos, I would look at where Jadeveon Clowney is lined up. I would go right after him because he hasn't had as much physical contact. He hasn't had much banging. He hasn't been in a training camp. I would go right after him because he's not as conditioned as well. He's a great workout warrior. He's constantly in the gym. But there's a difference between being in shape and then being in football shape. And I would go directly at Jadeveon Clowney. That's something that I would scheme and game plan for as well. John Cooper, 23, asked the question. He says, do you think that Josie Jewell can keep the starting job the entire season? That's the plan for the Broncos. And the biggest hope for Jewell is that he can stay healthy. Now, his rookie season last year as well, he battled a variety of different injuries that impacted him and also contributed him to losing his starting job. I mean, it wasn't really his to begin with. Todd Davis was out with an injury. Alexander Johnson hadn't yet emerged for the Broncos. So Jewell lost that role due to injury and also due to the emergence of Alexander Johnson. And now I imagine now with him at the Mike backer position, he's going to have a big, extensive role, especially now that Mark Barron is a little banged up right now, especially with that hamstring injury. Not too much knowledge about what he can contribute in Vic Fangio's defense just yet. Jewell and Alexander Johnson, expect them to get a majority of the bulks the first couple of weeks, but I do expect Josie Jewell to keep the starting job the entire season here for this Broncos football team. Michael Bolin asked the question, how did the touches get split up between Melvin Gordon and Phillip Lindsay? Hear that the new offense coordinator is big on having a bell cow. I wouldn't necessarily say that Pat Shurmur is big on having a bell cow. I think that the more variety you have, I remember back when he was with Minnesota, Latavius Murray, I forgot the other running back, Dalvin Cook as well, having those guys mix and match with each other, I think was great for them in that offense. But I do think that the Broncos are adaptable to the players that they have. Now, there is no Saquon Barkley here in Denver. You know, he had Saquon Barkley the last 2 years in New York. It's not the case here in Denver. So I think that you're going to see a variety of different touches between Gordon and Lindsay. I don't think you're going to see one guy more favorably. I think they're going to get a lot of time on the football field. Sometimes you can see them on the field at the same exact time together. But I would be very, very shocked if one guy gets a majority of the on-field reps in comparison over the other. I think both are going to play a major role in the Broncos offense. And the Broncos are not really going to go with the bell cow approach. They're going to go with the running back by committee approach with both Lindsay, Gordon, and Royce Freeman. Lisa brings the question in. She says, not a real question, but why do they keep insisting on making the Broncos play the late Monday night football game? I hate the wait. It's a late night, and if they lose, there is nothing to make me not be pissed off before trying to go to sleep to have to work the next day. Lisa, I agree with you. It's brutal. You know, for me as a media member, you know, I'm constantly covering the football games, and if it's late at night, you know, the game finishes, We hear from the coaches. We hear from the players in press conferences. And then you got to do a post-game reaction show. So for me, I'm staying up late. And then you don't have to go back to work the very next day to be able to do it. So, you know, I got to go through and record the post-game. And then I likely won't be in bed on Monday night till about 2 a.m. So it's going to be a long day, a long evening for me next week. But I do feel for the fans, especially on the Eastern time zone game, because it's going to start for them around 10:30 p.m. Eastern time. And our good friends over there in Ireland, Broncos Europe, they stay up to, I believe the game starts for them at 2:30 a.m. or 3:30 in the morning their time, and they brave it to catch their Broncos football. So obviously, you know, it sucks in terms of timing, but definitely got to respect it and respect all the people that stay up late to watch the game. It is a bummer though. It is the second game of a back-to-back Monday Night Football doubleheader. I'd ideally like them to go with a Saturday night game and then a Sunday night game to really kind of kick things off for the NFL. Greg Hunt comes in. He says, what offense worked best against the Titans defense? Was it 11 personnel or 12 personnel? You know, I went back and I watched the game film on Tennessee versus Denver last year. And a lot of times they were in, I believe it was a standard 11 personnel. Sometimes they went 10 personnel. They would go with zero tight ends and they go with a running back and they just go with the receivers there. But primarily they run a lot out of 11 personnel, which what the Broncos are more than likely going to do as well. So I think the Broncos are going to load the box up against Derrick Henry and they're going to try to force Ryan Tannehill to beat you with his arm, which he can. But the formula we've seen from Tennessee so far is handoff, handoff, third down, play action. You're going to see that formula. If they evolve a little bit, which I hope, if you're the Tennessee Titans, if you're a Tennessee Titans fan, you hope the offense evolves outside of that formula. But it's going to be a big question mark for the Broncos. But I do believe that the Broncos were going up against the 11 personnel from the Titans last year and did pretty well against it. A.J. Brown obviously going to be a second-year player. It's going to be an interesting thing to watch. David Freese comes in. He's our last question on today's episode. Lockdown Broncos at Cody Rourke NFL. He asked the question, who gets more targets? Is it Cortland Sutton or is it Jerry Jeudy? Part two, who does more with those touches? And in terms of week one of the season, that's really kind of where I'm deciphering. I'm going to go with week one because that's what's coming up here. I think that both players might expect maybe, you know, Cortland Sutton, I could say 6 to 7 targets. Jerry Jeudy, maybe 6 to 7 total targets as well. I think you're going to see the Broncos really try to spread that balance out. In terms of who does more with those targets, it's going to be interesting. Maybe it's going to be Jerry Jeudy because you're going to have Kevin Byard lurking over the top of wherever Cortland Sutton is at. It's going to create more opportunities for Jerry Jeudy or even Noah Fant to have a big game for the Broncos this upcoming Monday night. But with that said, Broncos country, that'll do it for today's episode of the show. Tomorrow, it is Crossover Thursday. I'm going to be talking with the host of the Locked On Titans podcast. Tyler and I are going to break things down. We're going to talk about the Broncos. We're going to talk about the Tennessee Titans and what's going to factor into this matchup. What's changed? What are the biggest storylines for each team? Obviously, for the Broncos, we know what it is coming into Monday Night Football. But maybe we might have some more clarity about the Broncos' options when we go into tomorrow's episode, Locked On Broncos, Crossover Thursday, Locked On Titans, and Locked On Broncos. With that said, Broncos country, we'll see you tomorrow for a brand new episode of the show.